We're back. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Jack of All Trades. I'm your host, Gates Haug, at First Gator on Twitter. I'm joined with Jack Newman here at Jack Viking on Twitter. Feel free to reach out to us there.
Yeah, so we should probably get up on the YouTube channel there and do a follow-up analysis with the USO and see how that debacle's going, or what do you want to do?
Here's how the price action occurred. Here's what happened to them. And to me, that it's just so far. It failed by so much, and I just, you know, I'd like someone to try to explain to me why this company exists, why do we need an oil ETF? Why is it even allowed? You know, I can tell you reasons why I don't think it should be a thing. I don't think it serves a lot of purpose, and even if it did serve a purpose, there's other oil ETFs. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out why, I don't know, why any of them exist is one thing, but also why after it failed so miserably, you know, were they allowed to just, you know, oh, just reverse stock split 1-for-8, you know, like, or 8-for-1. Like, why? Why, you know, can anybody do that? You know, can any?
Yeah, that's.
Can any? Yeah, like.
That's what
I don't.
It's like, this seems crazy. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard of a reverse stock split. I guess I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm not, like I said, I don't. There's absolutely reverse stock splits, but they're almost all, I mean, they're generally bad. You know, the idea is that the stock is growing so well that you split it, everybody gets more shares, and it allows people to get in for cheaper. You know, it knocks a barrier of entry down to like size of investment, which all sounds like a good thing and tends to be a good thing on the way up. On the way down, it's like, if the stock share price isn't enough, it puts it, you know, and this is just, I don't want to talk about things necessarily that I don't have any expertise on, you know. So I'm just saying, like, I know the nuts and bolts of it is that this reverse stock split, while maintaining their said objective of tracking the percent gains and losses of oil, allowing you to speculate on the price of oil through their ETF. Okay, so if they maintain the same idea that we're trying to capture this one-to-one result of the oil future price to their stock price, well, the minute they 8-for-1 split you, anybody beforehand goes from a 1-to-1. Now they only get 12.5% of the percent price of oil. And the fact that they lost, the simple fact that on the way down they lost far more than what oil lost. And then now on the way up, assuming it goes back up, they're going to lose, or they're going to gain 1/8 at best, because they weren't very good at getting 1-to-1 previously on the way, you know, on the way up, because they're, you know, and a good reason of that is the spreads that they got to pay a little bit for time for contango. But another reason is they're sucking $20 million in fees. You know, they're just, I mean, they're literally skimming off the top.
So right out of the gate, right? It's you're not
a lot of it's
not gonna,
yeah,
be 1-to-1, right?
Well, a lot of it's just, yeah, a lot of it's right off out of the gate, and it's like it's such a skim, it's such a small skim that, yeah, sometimes the futures do a little better than, you know, so there's these times when they're not, where you just don't notice it because it's so, but it's just so, I mean, does it just sound, I mean, the fact that it's registered security and meets approval that these, you know, that the you know, that they had lawyers and you know, and they met with regulators and they did this like by the book. The fact that it's by the book, it leads people to believe that it's okay. And it's like, well, it's really no different. It's just skimming off the top. You know, they're creating such a big amount of money. You know, they've attracted all these people. And what's crazy about it is the price of oil falling, you know, and we can talk about it. I'll pull up an article on the YouTube channel. It's like the price of it falling attracted so many people to say, like, wow, you know, just a regular guy, like, oh my gosh, oil's going down. That can't last. They're right. You know, like, it probably won't last. And if you are an oil user, you know, you probably would be smart to buy in some. If you're an airline if you get really cheap fuel prices that you can hedge the future risk of like high prices that hurt you, great, do it. But if you're just a guy who's like, oh, hey, I think I'm smart and the price of oil is going down and it's got to go back up, so I'm going to make some money. Well, good luck with that, because if you get into futures, you're subject to a lot of risks that you probably don't understand if you're just a quote regular guy. And my point is on an ETF, that's not a good way to circumvent this future risk, because you're just buying into a fund that's going to do that also. And they're also going to charge you for it. And you don't know what they're going to do with that. And I don't think they're to be trusted. And all I'm going to look at, you know, that's kind of my hypothesis from the start. And what I want to show is, like, in this instance, it was horrendous, but also, you know, it was predictable. And in my opinion, if this oil ETF in general, but this one in particular, goes on into the future, it's just a matter of time before they, you know, blow up again. You know, like, they're never going to greatly outperform the market. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're not going to see a time where it's like, oh boy, you know, like, it worked out better for me. You know, like, oh, it went up. I bought it. Oil, I wanted it to go up. Oil went up 10% and I made 30, you know, or I made 25. And I don't think you're going to see a time where, oh, you know, we bought it, but it went down 15% and I only lost 2% or I only lost 5%. But now here we sit at junctures of time where it went down 40 and I lost 70. It went unchanged and I lost 50. You know, if I'm a, you know, the stock lot, not I lost, I don't own any and I'm not, would right. never, you know, but so I'm just like, and as much as I think it's a bad idea, and here's why, you know, like, why is it a bad, the number one reason it's a bad idea is like, they're just doing something I could do, and charging me for it. And then, like, how much are they charging? Yeah, the bigger it gets, the less, but it's a small, quote, a small percentage, but that's, it's not the only percent, you know. There's you when you buy it, you're paying a broker commission. You know, there's a bid ask. You know, when you buy and sell stock, so that's like a little bit of a percentage against your investment. Your brokerage house is charging you investment on your stock transactions. There are probably, you know, other fees built into your brokerage accounts, and then inside the entity itself, they are charging fees, I mean, just straight up fees where they're just straight up taking money. And then, of course, they are subject to bid and ask when they roll. When they roll, not to mention that these rolls tend to be in contango, so then they imply a cost as well. And then there's just a lot of, you know, that's just what I know from just basically reading the outline. And all that adds up. You know, it all adds up to a heck of a lot more than the 1% fee. Like, that just, that 1% fee is just one fee. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Come versus if you just did straight futures and then you would just pay a straight, you know, one, you know exactly what your fee is on your transactions. You know, you got, you know, as bad as the thing went down, and the idea that like Interactive Brokers went so poorly for these guys doing this because they didn't know what they were doing, but it didn't really go any better for this oil fund that's supposed to know. That's the thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to add all this, these layers of quote protection because I'm going to pay these fees and I'm going to get these guys that have, you know, oh, this is a, they built this fund and they have legal and they have accounting and they have, you know, I would assume they have traders and people with background in oil markets and like, so I'm paying for all that knowledge and expertise. And what did that knowledge and expertise do? It the one time that things got dicey, it blew your money up worse than, you know, like if I personally just had a future and it went to $12 and I'm like, oh, I got to roll it and I got to pay $9 for the roll, it'd be like the worst. Like there was like one day where it was like $9 for that roll. And I, you know, and I made my Lucy, come on. And I, sorry, I made my price, you know, much worse. Cause I added to it. Like I had to pick the worst day ever. And so there's a decent chance if I just did it by myself, I would never pay near that much. But even if I did, and maybe I only add 40%, but I still have my one-to-one leverage. And if it comes back, so now it has to come back further. Well, the idea would be like, I'd be up on my investment today. You know, if I rolled it from $16 a barrel to $25 a barrel, it would have cost me, you know, $9 more than my original. And then I'd be sitting at, you know, I would need that to go $9 further. Well, since that day, say it's 25, it's up like $10 a barrel or $9, you know, it's up from that day. And so I should have made money back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, even if I bought it at 18 or 19 originally, and then I rolled it at some point, $9, well, my original plus $9 is 27. So I'd be like, oh, hey, it's 35. I'm up $8 a barrel. If I did that same with the fund, I'm like, it was $35 that I paid on my stock, you know, and here I sit, you know, anyway, we can talk about that. And here I sit as a major loser, you know, like my investment's a major loser through the fund, like not a small loser, significant loser. You know, like a 30% loss when I should have a 50% gain. Best, you know, it's crazy. And that's in addition to, you know, I mean, that like I went through all these reasons, like I pay all this extra money for these layers of insulation. And it's like, What are they providing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what you would think, it's like, oh, if you're like I said, we're going to charge all this stuff. It's because we bring some value to it, you know, and the idea that they didn't bring value is bad enough, but the idea that they brought catastrophic losses, you know, like not just didn't bring value, they just made it like horribly worse. Like it wasn't that they didn't, oh, you know, hey, this little role situation got a little sticky for the regular guy, you know, oh, well, the fun guy, you know, he had knowledge and he had the foresight to know the risks and avoided them for me. That's why I'm paying him the big bucks. You know, that's why he gets his fee. No, the opposite. They blew it up. You know, they instead of it got to the bottom and they basically lost everything. And then they just locked us. They locked everybody in to an 87% loss. And in order to make it back, you're just not going to make it back realistically. Like if you want to make it back, if you still believe in the price of oil, right, and they 8-for-1 split you, and now you got 1/8 of the leverage on the way back up you had, if you want to make it back, if you still believe oil's going to go back up, you literally need to invest more money. And then if you're willing to invest more money in that company, you deserve to lose every penny, in my opinion. You know, if you want to invest more money, you believe oil is going to go back up, you should have been on the phone to Interactive Brokers. And if you can't, in my opinion, if you can't afford that much money, you shouldn't be gambling on oil prices. That's the big picture of all this.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time on Jack of All Trades.